Please stand by. We're about to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's IBM Tivoli TMZ Advanced Storage Main Star Solutions Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Doug Gibbs. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Main Star training, the COS Advanced Storage Main Star training. I want to thank everyone for coming. I wanted to explain that today we're going to be breaking this training up into two sections, all on Central Time. We're going to start out now and go till about 11:30 Central Time, and then we'll pick up again at 1:30 Central Time and continue to right around 3:30. We will be breaking for questions throughout the training, so the instructor will stop and ask her questions, and you'll be able to ask them. We'll try to do it as often as we can and when there's some logical breaks in the training. So right now, I'm going to turn it over to Colleen Gordon. Colleen is from MainStar Software, and she'll be taking us through the MainStar products.
Thank you, Doug.
Right.
Okay. So welcome again, and we're live from downtown Chicago. We got a few people in the room here, and I wanted to thank you all for thank you all for joining us. And Bruce Hawkinson actually is here live in the room. Just reminded me that the first portion of this presentation is geared towards salespeople. I wanted to repeat a session that I gave in Atlanta. When was that? Last year sometime. This year somewhere. that really is, it's an analogy that I use to try to introduce salespeople that are not familiar with Z or not familiar with the storage arena into what catalogs do in the environment, what HSM does in the environment, and how the Tivoli-branded MainStar tools, how they fit into that that area, that the reason why you want to be selling these products, basically. So we're going to start with that section of the presentation. And if you've got your slides in front of you, let's just go to slide two. I was asked to give a little background on MainStar and Rocket. MainStar is actually a company that's been around for many, many years. In fact, Ron Ferguson founded it in 1978. I was still in high school in 1978, but did start in this business repunching cards that used to be fed through the card reader way back then. And anyway, at that point, we were called SIS, and they did a lot of training. Ron gave a lot of catalog classes, and the other folks at MainStar gave assembler courses and so forth. I joined MainStar in 1997, I believe. I've been here 11 years. And at that point, we were doing a lot of consulting, and we had a few products. We had HSM Reporter Manager and the advanced backup and recovery products that we're going to talk about today, and Storage Manager. But you know, more than 50% of our revenue at that time was in consulting services. 2 years ago, July, Rocket Software bought MainStar, and Ron retired to a tugboat in Alaska. And at that point, we became a wholly owned subsidiary of Rocket. We had already had a previous relationship with IBM at the time, but that just escalated even further, and now many of our products are Tivoli branded. So hopefully that gives you a good background on where we came from and our relationship with IBM. All right, so let's move on to the agenda on slide four. I'm basically, in this first hour, going to go over the various products on this slide, but I'm going to talk about them at a very high level. Again, this is the first hour for the sales folks. So we'll just move on to slide five. I stole this from a presentation that I believe that Max Kawano did, that was called something like How to Make Money in 2008 Selling the MainStar Products. So I've highlighted on this slide the four products that are in this presentation, and then in the more technical information that we're going to go into later in the morning and then in the afternoon. But I wanted to include this for your information. And then slide seven is when we actually start this presentation. So this analogy that I'm going to use, like I call it the sock analogy, and yes, I've been referred to as the sock lady, so you can call me the sock lady and I won't take offense. this is actually an old analogy that I heard years and years ago, I mean, back in the early 80s, from a man named C.D. Larson out at the IBM Norwalk office, Norwalk, California, which no longer exists. But I heard this analogy when HSM was rather new on the landscape. Of course, it had been out for a few years, but, you know, I was young and new to the ZOS environment. So it really helped me, and I thought that it would help a lot of the salespeople understand as well. So what is HSM? Well, it is the Dresser Facility System Managed SOCs Hierarchical SOC Manager, and it is a component of the Dresser Facility SOC Management System. Okay, and on the next slide, you will see that there are many different types of SOCs, and typically I bring SOCs to the presentation as props and show you my favorite SOCs, because I do happen to like SOCs very much, and I get them a lot at various holidays such as Christmas and my birthday and so forth. So over the years, I've collected quite a few pairs of SOCs. And as you can see, that these particular socks are representative of anybody's typical sock collection. Some of them are specifically oriented towards, you know, Christmas or some type of holiday. Some are more oriented towards what I might wear to work. And then some I might wear on the weekends or when I'm working out or something like that. So each of these socks have different qualities about them or different properties, and I wear them differently. I use them all differently, but you know, in nature, they're all basically socks. Okay, so on slide nine, my problem is that I have so many different pairs of socks that I needed some kind of a system to manage them. Okay. So I went out and I purchased some bureaus from the International Bureau Management from IBM. And I went out and I licensed DFSMS and HSM to manage all of my SOCs according to their usage. Okay. So on the next slide, slide 10, there's socks that I want right in my bedroom because, you know, when I get out of bed, I'm getting ready for work in the morning, or maybe it's the weekend and I'm going to throw my socks on with my tennis shoes and go out and do some yard work. I want my socks to be right there and available. So these are the socks that I use most often, and I want them to be closest to me, most available in my dresser drawer. Okay? And on slide 11, if that dresser drawer starts to fill up, then I've got some space down the hall in my hall closet. So what I wanted to be able to do is have, you know, all of my frequently used socks right there in my bedroom, but then have socks that I'm, you know, not so frequently using, like my holiday socks and maybe even my gym socks, because I only wear those on the weekend or whatever, my golf socks. Those can be located in the hall closet. It's a little bit harder to get to them. You know, I got to get out of bed, and I got to go down the hall, and I got to take down linens and towels and so forth to find my socks, but they're there, and I can still get to them. Now, on slide 12, what happens is that over the years, I get so many pairs of socks, and my dressers fill up, and the hall closet fills up, and I just run out of storage space. So I take those socks that, you know, I just don't wear very frequently, or maybe they're just not my taste. You know, I got them from a relative or, you know, whatever the case is, and I box them up and I put them out in my garage because there's lots of storage out there in the garage. So I, you know, I have room out there to put just about anything and everything, and, you know, I can keep it for as long as I want because you know, it's going to be a very long time before I fill up my garage with boxes and boxes of socks. Now, it's not as easy for me to get to. You know, I got to get out of bed. I got to go down the hall. I got to go outside. I got to open the garage door. I got to look through all of these boxes to find my pairs of socks. But there's lots of storage out there, and I don't, you know, I don't have to throw away or not use any of my socks that have been given to me. Okay, so slide 13 kind of encapsulates what we've been talking about. So my new socks, the socks that I've just received, or the ones I wear most often, I just throw them in my dresser drawer. The ones I don't want, that I don't wear as often, they'll get moved to the hall closet. And then if I never wear them, only wear them once a year, such as my Christmas socks or my St. Paddy's Day socks, they'll go out to the garage, right? So I've got lots of various storage levels in my house. Some are very easy to get to, like my bedroom dresser, easier to get to, like my hall closet, and some are a little bit harder to get to, like my garage, but I can still get to the data. Or the socks, rather. Oops. Okay. So over the years, you know, I've been throwing socks into my dresser drawer and taking socks out of my dresser drawer and throwing them into the hall closet and so forth. And over the years, you know, my dresser starts looking a mess. And you can see here, you know, I've got socks just flowing outside my dresser drawer and socks that I haven't been able to match, and it's just a nightmare. And on the slide 15, a lot of times the socks lose their brothers in the dryer. You know, you throw two in, but you only get one out, right? And on slide 16, I've got a cat who absolutely loves socks, and I often find my missing socks somewhere buried with the cat somewhere or under the bed somewhere. So, you know, sometimes I lose my socks. So what I needed was something to come in and do a complete audit of my sock inventory. Okay, what do I have? What's missing its brother? What's missing altogether? You know, where are all my socks? And what's in the garage? What's in the hall closet? And what's in my dresser drawer in my room? Okay, so I called the International Bureau Management Company, IBM, and I ordered a copy of Advanced Audit for HSM. Okay? And on the next slide, I used Advanced Audit to clean up my dresser, get all my socks organized well in my dresser. Next slide, the Advanced Audit package found the socks that I had been missing that I lost in the dryer. And it actually went and stole back the socks that my cat had confiscated from me and matched them all up and folded them really nicely and organized them in my house. So I also needed a way to report on what kinds of socks I had. You know, how many pairs of Christmas socks do I have? How many pairs of work socks do I have? How many are brown? How many are black? And this way I could tell my relatives and so forth, you know, what kinds of socks to buy me in the future rather than them just buying whatever they thought was cute. I could tell them exactly what I needed for my inventory of socks. So, you know, the other thing I wanted to know about my socks was how often did I actually wear them? You know, my bowling socks, you know, when's the last time I actually went bowling? My Christmas socks, I have so many pairs of them, which ones was I wearing more often than others? So I needed something that would give me all of this information. So on slide 22, I ordered a copy of Advanced Reporting for HSM. And what this software package does for me is it does exactly what I was looking for. It's going to go through all of my socks. It's going to tell me every kind of sock I have, what color it is, what print type it has on it, when was it purchased, when was the last time that I wore it, and where are they located? Is it in my dresser in my bedroom or out in the garage or in the hall closet? And then I can also tell HSM when I want to, you know, just expire a pair of socks. Like if I've had a pair of socks for 5 years, I've never worn that pair of socks, you know, just toss them. I probably will never, ever wear them in the future, so just get rid of it. Okay, now we're on slide 23. So then I got to thinking, well, what if I had, like, a fire, you know, in my house or in my garage? You know, I'd lose all of my socks, and that would just be detrimental to me. So I needed something that would ensure that if I had some kind of a disaster in my house, that my socks were safe. So I called IBM, and I ordered the Advanced Backup and Recovery for ZOS, okay? And what this product does for me is it identifies all of the socks that are critical to me, like my work socks and the kinds of socks that I use and wear most often. Even those socks that I might only wear once a month, but I wear them consistently once a month, okay? So it identifies all those socks that I need, and it made a duplicate set of all of these socks. So on slide 24, you can see it makes a duplicate bag of all the socks that I have that are critical to me, and then I can take that bag of socks and I can take it down the street to the storage facility and actually put that bag of socks in storage. And it keeps this up over time. So as I add new socks to my dresser and, you know, I find that I wear them a lot and they're critical to me, this package will actually make another pair of socks and add it to that bag that I have down the street in storage, okay? All right, so I have advanced audit for HSM. That's what's going to make sure all of my socks are paired up nicely. I'm not missing any in the dryer. The cat didn't go and steal some of my socks. Advanced reporting will tell me how many pairs of socks I have, where are they located, what color they are, what print type they are, how often I wear them, all of that kind of information. And then Advanced Backup and Recovery will tell me these are the socks that are critical to you and make a separate set of those socks that I can take down the street and hold in storage. Okay? Any questions about this section?
If you would like to ask a question, you can signal us by pressing the star key followed by the number 1 on your telephone. Once again, that is star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. Joining today using the speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off before you signal. One more time, that is star 1 if you have a question. And we'll pause for a moment.
Any questions from you folks in the room? Just give you a good understanding of what HSM does, how it functions in the environment, and what it's taking care of?
I have a question. There seems to be a little overlap between audit and reporting. Is there overlap? Or?
That's a very good question. I actually get that a lot. Is there an overlap? Not really, because what audit does is it says, okay, I'm going to analyze the control data sets, the heart and soul of HSM, and each of these control data sets have records in them. There are like something like 26 control data set or control records that are in the CDSS, okay? So what the audit product does is it matches up all the records from all three of the CDSS that have to do with any of the data, okay? So like my bowling socks, right? So there's records in the CDSS about my bowling socks. One of the records says where it's located. The other record says what it's called. Okay, and another bit of information tells me, do I have a backup of it? When was the last time I wore it? Those kinds of things. So what the audit does is it combines all of this information and makes sure that none of it is missing, because that happens. A lot of times what happens is the record about where it's located is corrupted or it gets lost somehow. Now, I can't tell you how that happens. I just can tell you that it does, okay? and it happens quite often. So my bowling socks are still intact, and they're still in the area where they're supposed to be, only the records that tell me about it have become disconnected. So the audit product reconnects those records. It fixes those records so that I can then say, okay, I have my bowling socks, and they're in the hall closet. So, and it's the reporting package that tells me where they are, how often I wear them. But what it basically does is it pulls all those records from the CDSs and it shows me in an ISPF format all the data. Okay, so the audit product fixes the CDSs so that all the records are intact and everything is cool out there, and the reporting package actually shows me the data, and from that reporting, I can then, you know, for example, run ad hoc reports about exactly what I want to see, or I can fix situations, whereas, let's say, my bowling socks were really supposed to be out in the garage, but they're in my dresser drawer, okay? So I wrote an incorrect rule about where they should be. So the reporting package tells me that information, and then I can go and fix it. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, Bruce.
I just want to make one comment, and that is every one of our customers that have DFSMS HSM, which you can pull up on the CAD file and ascertain if your customer has this in place already, should be looking at one of these or all of these five products that are related to this, not including the catalog management, which is over and above that. But this is something that every one of our customers should look at. Sue Crum last year and the year before, I think she spent almost 2 years working on State Farm, and then and Gary, you know, Geiger has worked on that as well this year, and combined they've closed that very significant, close to $1 million for one product for DFSMS, advanced audit for DFSMS HSM, and now we're looking at Reporter. Every one of our customers should be considering these. These are large companies that have done due diligence and know why they need this, and they've recognized the need for this. And I think MainStar is doing a very good job this year just knocking the cover off the ball with these products across the country. So we need to do more of this in Central. So just really lock and load on this.
Yeah, the larger the installation or the longer they've had HSM, the more they need these products. Brand new HSM installations, you know, they're not going to need them the reporting product they need right away. But, you know, if they're brand new, the audit product they're not going to need for, you know, several months down the road. But it still makes sense to sell it to them all at one time because eventually they will need the audit function. But I just recently did an analysis at a company right here in Chicago. They had over 100,000 HSM errors every single month. Every month, 100,000 errors occurring in their environment, and that's month after month, year after year. Now, they didn't even know about it. I mean, HSM's just chugging along and doing what it's supposed to do. And it wasn't until we actually ran the reports in the environment and showed them what was happening that they were aware that they were having all of these problems. Bruce asks, is there a cost factor? Of course there is, because every time HSM goes to do something and fails, it costs CPU and sometimes I.O. Sometimes when HSM goes to migrate a data set, but there isn't enough space on ML1, it'll actually incur I.O. It'll try to migrate that data set, and because it's also compressing it at the same time. And then it figures out, oh, I don't have enough space and I can't expand to another volume, and then it will fail. So it incurs both CPU and I.O. every single time it tries to move that data set. And it might try to do it every single day. I've seen reports that show very large data sets, you know, thousands of cylinder-sized data sets, that HSM has tried to migrate every single day for over a year. And we're talking some big numbers as far as I.O. and CPU associated with that.
What is considered a large SM installer?
Okay, so Lance is asking, what is considered a large HSM installation? Any installation that has, you know, close to 1 million records in their CDS, I would say anything that's multiple terabytes is large. And I know that that kind of sounds funny because 1 or 2 terabytes in an installation really isn't much these days, you know. Well, some of these sites have 200 terabytes. But that still represents millions of records that HSM is taking care of. And what I find is that, you know, companies often dump a lot of stuff into HSM that they don't know anything about. They don't know what it is. They don't know who it belongs to, how long they're supposed to keep it. It just stays around in HSM forever and ever because they don't have any visibility to the data. Okay, they can't tell when was the last time it was actually used. And we can tell them that with our information. Okay, one of the kinds of things that we recommend to customers, especially customers who have been HSM customers for a long time, is to actually move that old data. I've seen data out in HSM that was created in the 80s and 90s. Okay, and it's still out there, and they don't know what to do with it. And their CDSs just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and the whole HSM environment just keeps growing, and they don't have any control over it. I tell them, you know, let's get this data out of HSM. Let's archive it into ABARS. Okay, and we're going to talk about that and what that means and how that works throughout the day today. That's actually in the afternoon. And what that does is it reduces the size of the CDSs, it reduces recycle and all kinds of HSM resources that are continually spent on this data that nobody knows anything about, nobody is dealing with, yet HSM still has to manage. Okay? I know that's a long answer to your question. Any other questions?
We do have a question from over the phone. We'll hear from Andy Neller.
Okay.
I'm sorry, you already answered it, so thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Andy. Okay. All right. Anything else? Are we ready to go? Okay, let's move on. Slide 27. Now we're going to talk about what a catalog is. I know a lot of folks have heard us talk about ICF catalogs or catalogs in the Z environment, and you just don't have a clue what they mean. These are very, very important structures in a ZOS environment. Okay, and they are unique to ZOS. You won't find this in the distributed world, even in Z Linux. They don't have these catalog structures. Okay, so it's unique to ZOS. And you know, this is another thing. This area is one of those single points of failure in a ZOS environment. Okay. So let's just talk about this again using the analogy that we were talking about before with the socks. And I'll explain to you what catalogs do. Okay, so we talked about different types of socks and that they have different properties and that I wear them at different times. But in conjunction with what I have in HSM, I also have to have each one of my socks cataloged in an ICF catalog, okay? Because if I have like three or four dressers in my bedroom, I don't necessarily know exactly where they are. Okay, and HSM goes to the catalog to find that information. So I also have to have an intact ZOS catalog in my environment in order to find my socks. Okay, so on slide 28, I've got just a picture here. You can think of a catalog sort of as a phone book. Okay, if you want to know the phone number of somebody, in IBM, you probably have it online now, but, you know, in the old days, there was a big, thick catalog that they sent out, and you looked up who that person was, and then you called their number. Well, you can use that type of analogy for what a catalog does in a ZOS environment. It tells you how to find things, okay? So directory A that's hovering above my dresser A contains all of the entries, all the information about my socks that are in that dresser. And directory B, hovering over my dresser B, contains all the information about the socks that are in that dresser. Now, I also have what's called a master directory. Now, I have one of those in my environment. And that master directory just keeps track of all the various directories that I have in my environment. So it knows about directory A, and it knows about directory B, okay? So on the next slide, we get a little bit deeper into what these catalogs do, okay? So if I'm going to throw a pair of socks into my dresser, I have to describe those socks to the catalog. So I'm going to call them something, okay? For example, in directory A, I have brown sock 1 and blue sock 1. Now, if I got another pair of blue socks, I would have to name it blue sock 2, blue sock 3, because each pair of my socks would need to have a unique name. In the ZOS environment, you cannot have duplicate data set names like you can in open systems or even on your hard drive. We can't do that in ZOS. Everything has to have a unique name. And it must exist in one of these catalogs or directories, as I'm showing you here, for the system, for ZOS, to find that pair of socks. Okay? So my master directory just keeps track of where the high-level qualifier, and I think that most of you have heard that term, it's also called HLQ, the high-level qualifier Brown is in directory A. So all of my socks that begin with the word Brown must be cataloged in that catalog. All of my socks with the word Blue in the beginning of them must be cataloged in directory A. My Easter socks, all of my socks that begin with the word Easter are in directory B. And my St. Patty's Day socks, anything with St. Pat at the beginning of that unique name are in directory B. And the master directory just keeps track of those high-level qualifiers, also called aliases, if you've heard that term before. Okay? So an alias and a high-level qualifier is the same thing when we're talking about ICF catalogs. And each entry, each pair of socks I own has to have a unique name. Okay? All right, let's move on to slide 30. So if something happens to my directory B, I cannot locate any of the socks that are cataloged in that directory. Let's say I have got a very critical application and a bunch of its data sets are cataloged in that catalog. And something happens in the system, and yes, this happens. And again, I can't necessarily explain how it happens, but stuff happens. And that catalog goes offline for whatever reason. It's a hardware problem. It's a software problem. It's a vSAM data set and structure, so maybe it has some kind of vSAM corruption. Or it reaches its max extent. It gets as big as it can get, and ZOS says, you can't get any bigger. Okay? All of those reasons and more, and a lot of the more part is human error, can result in a catalog, quote, breaking. And everything that's cataloged in that catalog goes offline. You can't get to any of it. The production jobs go down. Online applications go down. I mean, this is major stuff, okay? So these things are very important, all right? All right. So slide 31, what do I do to solve this problem? I called IBM, and I purchased Advanced Catalog Management for ZOS because what that's going to do for me is create a backup of my catalogs as often as I'd like to make that backup, and it will also provide for what we call forward recovery, okay? It also does a whole bunch of other things, and this is covered in the afternoon. We're going to go through all the other things that the catalog management tool does. But companies buy this product for this feature, all right? They want to be able to recover catalogs as quickly as possible and forward recover them to this exact moment in time in which my catalog went down. Okay? So let's move on. Slide 32. In summary, again, advanced audit for HSM, advanced reporting for HSM, advanced backup and recovery for ZOS, and advanced catalog management for ZOS. These are the four typically branded MainStar products that you guys will either be selling or supporting in some capacity, and of course also talking to customers about to get them interested in it. As Bruce said before, anybody who is interested in audit should also be interested in the reporting feature. And the advanced backup and recovery, even if your customer is completely replicating or mirroring all their data today, they still need a local backup copy of that data. And we're going to cover that in depth this afternoon. And then the advanced catalog management, as I just explained, catalogs are so crucial. One goes down and you lose all the applications that use that particular catalog. And let me tell you, it's always the major big production catalog that goes down because it's the one getting hit the hardest all day long, okay? It's got lots of ZOS activity going to that catalog, trying to find stuff, updating that catalog, deleting entries. I mean, it's being hammered all day long. And so those are the most vulnerable catalogs in the environment, okay? Okay, slide 34 and on. I've covered some value statements in these slides, and this is basically for the sales folks. You know, what kinds of things can you entice your customers with? On slide 34, what I've got here is that a particular customer corrected over 10,000 errors in less than 30 minutes with advanced audit. Now, you know, without this tool, HSM does have its own audit command, okay? Excuse me. However, it is very archaic. It was built, you know, way back in the late 70s, early 80s, when we had, you know, maybe 100, 200 records in HSM. So it was built based on old technology and not a tremendous amount of data in HSM. So the commands within HSM's audit are very cumbersome. They're very slow, and they use a lot of resources, okay? So to be able to fix 10,000 errors in 30 minutes is phenomenal. I mean, this would have taken a HSM shop without this tool, you know, no kidding, months to fix on their own, okay? So, you know, this is highly desirable by shops who have a lot of errors. And as I mentioned before, if you've got large customers with a lot of data in HSM, they have errors, and they have thousands of errors. Okay, and trying to even think about fixing those for an HSM administrator, I mean, they just throw their hands up in the air and they go, I don't want to do this. This will take me the rest of my career to fix these things. So being able to have a tool come in and clean this up in such short time is what they're looking for. It's what they need. Okay? Let's go on to advanced reporting. I mentioned the customer I'm working with downtown here that has over 100,000 errors. A lot of these errors are in recall and migration. And, you know, that's probably the most costly function that HSM performs because, of course, migrating data involves actual data movement, and that incurs both CPU and I.O. And some of the problems that they're having is not being able to migrate data, not being able to recall data because there's record corruption in the CDSs, which I need audit to fix. And a lot of the, you know, what we're calling errors is really just data that is being migrated and recalled, migrated and recalled, migrated and recalled. And sometimes this occurs three or four times a day. So you can imagine if you times that by 1,000 data sets that are being migrated and recalled within a single day, what is that costing the customer to actually physically move that data from primary to ML1 or ML2 tape and bring it back again, and migrate it and bring it back again, and migrate it and bring it back again? Now, I've got a lot of curious looks in the room. Why is this happening? Well, people just don't know. They don't know what the usage patterns are. They don't know how often they wear their bowling socks. Okay, they don't have the reporting tools to see that this data is being used very frequently and it should stay on primary DASD. Okay, so is that an error per se? Not really, but it is a problem that the customer needs to fix. They need to not migrate that data set. That's costing them money. Okay? All right. Let's move on to the next slide. This is advanced backup and recovery. The first quote here is really a great quote. I mean, what this customer is saying that every time they went to DR, they were always missing data sets. And missing a data set at DR is critical. I mean, that can hold up your whole recovery depending on what kind of data set that is. So this customer is saying that with advanced backup and recovery, they went to DR and they were able to recover everything. They weren't missing anything, and that's significant. Okay, and on the next slide, advanced catalog management. You know, there's a good money, the third bullet down has a large number in it, and I remember this customer. This was actually during a DR test. One of the things that you have to do for DR is recover those catalogs that have the records in them about where everything is. And that applies to the DR site as well. If I recover data at the DR site, I have to be able to find it through the catalog. What was happening in their environment was they were recovering data, and then they would run a process called a catalog scrub. And what that would do is it would make sure that everything that was physically recovered was in the catalog and that there wasn't entries in the catalog that wasn't physically recovered. Okay? That process used to take them hours, 18 hours. And you can imagine how much it costs per hour at a recovery site. Everyone's sitting around waiting for this catalog scrub to finish. Okay? So they estimated that we saved them $348,000 every time they tested, because we reduced the time it took them to do that process from 18 hours to 30 minutes. Okay? So another big savings. And, of course, we're going to talk about this particular feature of catalog, of advanced catalog management this afternoon, so you'll understand better how it works. Okay, this slide 38, again, I stole this from Max's presentation. But what this is talking about is the TEP enablement. The products that are on the left here under the Omegamon XC for storage have all been TEP enabled. And that includes advanced reporting for HSM, advanced audit for HSM, and advanced catalog management. The advanced backup and recovery is in development now, and I understand is to be released sometime in October. Okay, so we're talking about just a few months. So what that will mean is all of the MainStar, Tivoli branded MainStar products will be TEP enabled or are TEP enabled. And as of October sometime in October, they will all be TEP enabled. But what does that mean for you? I've got slides in the other technical presentations we're going to do both this morning and this afternoon that actually show you the TEP screens. Okay, and what it does is it provides you a GUI, and it's all through Omegamon XC for storage, and I can see both the Omegamon storage information and information from these MainStar products. Okay, competitors. I've included competitors here for each of the products that we're talking about. For advanced audit, I would have to say that our biggest competitor is still CA Vantage as far as what capabilities it has. Dino Software, which is selling T-Rex, which is a competitor to our catalog management product, also includes some HSM audit feature, but it's very minimal at this point, and it's not inclusive like ours is. Our particular product covers every single type of audit command that you would ever want to do, and all of the audit commands, of course, that the IBM HSM product covers, but T-Rex is just a small subset of that, And it is that they are including those functions with their catalog management solution. So you buy T-Rex and you get these HSM functions with it. But again, it is not a comprehensive audit product like ours is. Advanced reporting for HSM. Again, the biggest competitor there is CA Vantage. However, our customers who have converted from Vantage to Advanced Reporting have told us that our reporting gives them much more in-depth information. Okay? I've never used the Vantage product, so I'm not real familiar with what it provides. But what they're telling us is that we go a deeper dive. We give them more information. Okay, and Advanced Backup and Recovery, our biggest competitor there is the 21st Century product, DRVFI, and they have an ABARS piece called ABARS Assist. They do not have the piece that's in Advanced Backup and Recovery that's called Inventory Tracking, and we'll cover that this afternoon. And that piece has become very, very important in the post-Sarbanes-Oxley environment. We'll talk a lot about that this afternoon, about why that's important. So the GRVFI solution does not include that piece. One that's coming around as far as I've been hearing from customers that they're getting phone calls is this OpenTech DRCDI and DRCDBR. OpenTech, you may be familiar with them. They have some products that stack tape data sets out of virtual tape subsystems for DR. And they bought these products from somebody. I'm not exactly sure who. And I know very little information about it, but I have heard from customers who have looked at it that it's nowhere near what we're offering. Like our product is the Cadillac and theirs is the Yugo version. Okay? Catalog management, this is a really tough competitive landscape, and Dino Software has been a tough competitor because they basically will just price all the way down to zero if they want to. However, I have heard, and Bruce, you can back me up on this, in the last year, they've actually hired salespeople who want to make some money. And so they're not as competitive on price as they used to be. They'll still give you a run for it, but they're not as willing to give the product away for nothing like they used to be. That's what I have heard. Have you heard that as well, Bruce? Or don't know? Okay. catalog solution typically is the incumbent in a lot of these sites that have not changed to either our product or T-Rex. Catalog solution used to be a Softworks product, and then Softworks sold out to EMC in 2000. EMC has done some very minor enhancements to it. But really, EMC doesn't seem to have much of a focus on Z software at all. And so we've replaced a lot of catalog solution customers with our product. Okay. The next set of slides gives you some information, again, for salespeople on who to contact in the organization. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. But on slide 45, this is something you do want to hang on to. This will tell you the MainStar sales folks and what their territories are. And as you can see, my territory is all of Canada, Vermont, Minnesota, Maine, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Illinois, Wisconsin, and North and South Dakota. Now, that's a lot of territory. So I really need you folks. I need you folks out there in these areas that I just simply cannot cover. And I'm here to help you, sell. I want you to sell. I've got a great relationship with Chris Barber in Minneapolis. He's doing great at 3M and United Health Group and hopefully some other accounts there. and I want to have that, you know, great relationship with you folks here in Chicago and Wisconsin. I've worked with a lot of folks in Canada as well. So please help me cover this territory. It's huge, and I can't do it by myself. Our BUE is Doug Bryan. He's my boss. That's who decides, you know, whether or not we can do what we want to do. A lot of times the IBMers need support from an SE perspective, and most of the time we're able to help you there. In fact, I'm working with some guys in Canada right now. We're going to send Ken up there to assist with a evaluation. So we can do that for you. We can help the customers evaluate the products and help you get that sell. You all know Louie Hanna, I hope. If you ever have a question about a function and you can't find me or you don't know who to go to within MainStar, Louie can answer that question. Louie's very familiar with our products, as well as Chris Taylor and Max Kawano. All of those guys can provide you support. Okay, so that's the end of this first section. How did I do on time? Pretty good. Do we want to take a
question?
Okay, let's go ahead and open the lines for questions.
Thank you once again. If you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your phone. Again, it's star 1 if you have a question.
Yes, Lance.
If this space, a lot of people have something in place, can you comment on how easy, how difficult it is?
Okay. Lance's question is, for the customer sites who already have a product in place, how easy or how difficult it is to replace it? And, of course, that answer is it depends. the catalog product, for example, if they've got catalog solution from EMC, it's been actually very easy to replace. If T-Rex gets into the mix, it becomes harder because they're saying that they're functionally equivalent, and I think in a lot of cases they seem to be, customers seem to think that they are functionally equivalent to advanced catalog management. Of course, they don't have the TEP enablement piece, and they will fight very competitively on price. So I think your greatest advantage there is the TEP enablement. If that particular customer is already an OmegaMon customer, or they're looking at XE for storage, you have an advantage there that T-Rex will never have, and that is that TEP piece. Otherwise, you're basically competing on price.
I guess my question is it 2 weeks effort or month effort, or what's the effort?
Okay. So Lance's question, well, basically if I boil it down, is it 2 weeks, is it 2 months? And again, that's it depends. I mean, some customers will finish the sales cycle within, you know, 3 months, I think would be a particular, logical sales cycle. And some take 6 months, some take even longer than that. It all depends on how many competitors you have in place, are they going to an RFP, all those kinds of things.
Well, I guess I'm more asking for service. Let's say they decide to buy our stuff.
Oh, okay.
The migration.
The migration. Oh, okay. All right. So the question is more from a migration perspective. With the catalog tool, it's basically just a bunch of batch jobs that they'll have in place. Most customers will just have a few batch jobs already in place that do backup of their catalog. That is a no-brainer to convert. Okay. Some customers, AT&T, for example, back when they were SBC and we sold them our solution, they had a bunch of batch jobs that did reporting on various things in their environment, and they were using catalog solution to do that. So we also had to convert those jobs to use our reporting mechanism. So it's going to depend on the customer, but 90% of the time they just have a few batch jobs that are backing up catalogs, and we're talking just a few days to convert those. Okay? Now, the product with the longest sales cycle is the advanced backup and recovery. When you're dealing with DR something as important as DR, there tends to be a lot of players involved inside the customer environment. The good news is that they're typically funded. You know, they have the budget money. They just need to go through the process of bringing in a solution. And they're going to look at us. They're going to look at DRVFI. A lot of times they're going to want to install one or two of the competitors that they're looking at and, you know, do a apples-to-apples comparison. And those types of evaluations are going to take time. And they end up being, you know, a much longer sales cycle than any of the salespeople want it to be. We will help you with that evaluation, and that makes a big difference because, you know, we're in there with the customer for a couple of days. We get them over the learning curve very, very quickly, and we actually show them, you know, within 2 days, here's an application, here's what we're finding, all the critical files. Here's how you're going to do the backup. We take them through the whole process and so that they can gel it in their minds that this is how this works. DRVFI will also support their installations and trials. However, a lot of the customers we've worked with saying that their software is very buggy and they have problems installing it. They've got to put patches on it and so forth to make it work, or it doesn't. They're dependent on SaaS. So, you know, they have to run SAS reports to get information. We don't have that dependency and so forth. So, but, you know, they don't actually see these kinds of things until they do the evaluation. So you're usually looking at a you know, 60-day evaluation time and then, you know, a decision-making process afterwards. The audit tools, there's not much competition for that unless they're looking to replace all of Vantage. And then, it's, you know, these products install in less than an hour, and, you know, within 2 hours you can have audit jobs running and the results already displayed. So they're very easy to evaluate. Again, we will send an SE out to help the customer with the evaluation. We have an ROI tool for the advanced reporting that will collect information from the customer environment, plug it into this spreadsheet that we have, and produce a report that shows you what's going on in their environment. So those tools help. Yes?
How does the customer know if they bought his product?
Okay, your name's Wayne, right?
Yes.
Okay, Wayne's asking, how does the customer know if they need the audit product? Well, that's a tricky question because a lot of times they don't know. You have to tell them. Gee, when's the last time you audited your HSM environment? Oh, gee, you know, we haven't audited that for years, is typically the answer. Or the last time I tried to audit, the thing ran for 2 days, and I had to cancel it. That's the responses that we get from customers. So it's really up to you to say, you really need to audit. I mean, we can just run this little tool in here and just show you what's going on in your environment. And a lot of times when the customers see the results, they go, oh, my gosh, I had no idea that my environment was that messed up.
Run an audit but not fix?
Yes. Yeah, so Wayne's asking, so you'd come in and run an audit and not fix it. Of course not, because if you fix it, then, you know, they won't need that product until those errors occur again in the environment. So, yeah, you don't want to fix anything. You just want to report on what you found. Yeah. Did I answer your question? Okay. Questions on the phone?
Yes, we do have a few questions on the phone. Our
okay.
First question will come from Chris Smith.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Colleen. I just had a question. I was not able to sit all the way through your first training session just because of many other things going on. I was wondering, Doug or Bruce, did this in any way, shape, or form get recorded?
Yes, it is being recorded.
Ah, that's fantastic. I loved your analogies on starting it and on how you tied the products together. I thought it was great.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Yeah, so I can. So there'll be you'll send out URLs later on how this was recorded. Great. Thank you very much.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yep.
Our next question will come from Linda McCarter.
Oh, hi, Linda.
Hi, Colleen.
I was hoping you would be here today.
Yeah, I was too, but it didn't turn out that way.
Okay.
But I have a question. And if you have a competitively installed environment, is there information on Excel or somewhere with advantages of our solutions over the competitive environment so that you can use that kind of as a teaser when you go in?
Yes, that kind of information is kind of constantly being looked at and updated, so it's always in a state of, I won't say limbo, but let's just say, being updated. So when you need that information, just send me a note, and I will get the latest and greatest from the product manager back to you, lickety-split.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Our next question will come from Lee Wang.
Hi, Colleen. Lee Wang here. Hi. Thank you for your presentation. Great. We have a account. They have a Dino T-Rex. Can you highlight or share some lights on what's a key missing function? Maybe we can displace them.
Yeah. They don't have a lot of missing functions. One of the things that is constantly on our chart as far as the differences between T-Rex and our product is that our forward recovery that we talked about in the beginning, how critical it was to be able to quickly forward recover a catalog. Ours you do in one step, and theirs requires two separate steps. So it just adds more time to the forward recovery. Secondarily, our cat scrub, which is a function that I'm going to talk about at length this afternoon. It's a feature, again, that synchronizes data at the DR site, what you've actually recovered with the catalogs that you recovered.
Right.
Our function tends to be more inclusive, or in other words, it has a feature in it that more closely mirrors what the customers are doing today. T-Rex has a different philosophy on recovering catalogs in the entries, and so it's a little bit complicated, a little bit technical as far as the way the two work, but that is a difference. I can get you, if you send me a note, I can get you the current list of the differences or the comparison, let's say, between T-Rex and Advanced Catalog Management.
Thank you.
Give that to Doug. Yeah,
yeah,
being asked to send that to Doug. Yeah, I'll send that to Doug so that it's available to all of you folks. But, again, this is information that is constantly updated. So if it's been a while since you received it, just send me a note and say, hey, are there any updates to this, and I'll get you the latest and greatest.
Thank you, Colleen.
Shortly.
Thank you. Also, do you cover Illinois, Southern Illinois?
I do.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Yep.
Our sales rep and myself will send you a note, too. We need your help.
Good.
Yeah.
Yep, good.
Thank you.
And one more time, that's *1 if you have a question.
Hey, this is Doug Gibbs here. I'm going to throw this out. If, we had a lot of contact names here and we got stuff like that, but if anybody needs anything that relates to the MainStar products, give me a shout. I'm Doug Gibbs, and I'm in the Austin office. And if you get a hold of me, you don't have to remember all those names. I'll remember them for you, and you can let me do all the tracking down and get you the right person. All right? So keep that in mind. Write my name down.
Yes, Bruce.
Yeah, I just want to make a couple of points again. Just to remind everyone, go to your CAD file. See who has DFSM, SHSM in your accounts, and we should be talking to those customers. Number one, as a best practice, most customers should be running an audit every week. But if they run the HSM audit, as an example, it might be impossible for them to actually use our DFSM, SHSM audit tool, whereas if you use the advanced audit tool for DFSM, SHSM, they can do this very quickly and they can save a lot of money. From catalog management, there's also another IBM product. You can also do a pull if they have, ICFRU,
mm-hmm.
that product as well. That's another MLC solution that we could displace with the advanced catalog solution. So a couple of products that we should be taking a clear focus on and pressing forward. I will also make one other last comment. When you run into CA Vantage for storage resource management, BrightStore CA Vantage, you know, there's the premise that, well, that's a very good solution, and it is, but we were kind of weak for a period of time, and then when we're just running at it with a Megamon XE for storage, sometimes we were competing well, sometimes we were failing. But when you blend the Megamon XE for storage with the DFSMS HSM reporter, the advanced HSM reporter, we now can very aggressively compete against the Vantage product. And I believe in the East Coast there was a multi-million dollar deal that was just won by testing these two products, a Megamon XE for storage and advanced reporter, against CA Vantage, and we beat CA Vantage explicitly on the power of those two products together. So just food for thought. So let's start rolling up our sleeves and getting to work. Is Ken Rogers still here too?
Yes, Ken.
So mention him too.
Yep. Ken Rogers is an SE. He's actually located in Southern Illinois. And he comes up a lot because of, you know, my territory being this area. I use him a lot as an SE, and you'll hear his name a lot as well if you're in the Illinois, Wisconsin, Minneapolis area, because Ken will be the guy who will work with you. And so if you need an SE on any of your accounts, just let me know, and I will engage Ken to come and support you. Okay, are we ready then to move on to the next section? Okay, I'm on slide 49. It's the agenda slide for the advanced reporting for HSM. And we're just going to take a more technical look. I hope that doesn't scare off the salespeople, but this is a more technical session. But at the same time, I think the salespeople, if you want to stay on the line, you can glean some information from this presentation that will help you pick out tidbits and so forth that you want to approach customers with. Okay? We talked about HSM in the first hour, and basically I used the sock analogy, but you got the idea that there are customers out there with very large HSM installations, and HSM is critical in these environments. It's got, you know, a tremendous amount of data of the customers that it manages within itself. I have here on the slide between 30% and 50%, and some customers is actually more because they are so tight on primary storage, they literally migrate things as soon as they're created to make room for more data that they want to allocate on the primary storage. All of these installations, well, I won't say all of them, but let's say 99% of these installations have a, you know, typically have some old MVS programs in place that require a what we call a cycle-oriented processing run. So you have a daily run, a weekly run, a monthly run, an annual run. Retail organizations typically have some unique runs that are around the Christmas time because, of course, they do most of their business during that time. But what this means is that data that is created out of a weekly run is migrated and is recalled then for the monthly run, and then the monthly run data is migrated and recalled for the quarterly run and so forth. So it means that data that is being migrated and managed in HSM is critical, is needed for DR, is needed for processing down the road. Don't let people tell you that, you know, data that's in HSM is inactive data that nobody needs. That's not true. Most of the places that I've gone to, customers that I talk to, they all migrate data, production data, that they will need down the road into HSM. Okay, so HSM is a critical piece. Another thought there is that Caterpillar is one that comes to mind. They, all of their drawings about their various types of tractors and farm implements and so forth are migrated into HSM. And if a customer calls and needs part blah, 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 they've got to recall that from HSM, look at the whatever it is that they have that tells them what kind of part it is or what it is they need, that's all in HSM. So for that particular company, HSM is a critical piece in their environment. And by the way, they are an advanced audit customer. They use our product to keep their HSM environment clean so that they can get that data back when they need it. So this is critical data. There's a lot of data that's in HSM that is old. A lot of it could just be deleted. But the customer will never know that information unless they have these reporting tools to tell them. Okay? The other thing that is kind of new on the landscape, let's say within the last 5 years, is the whole Sarbanes-Oxley and data retention and so forth. More companies are aware of regulations and so forth that say, I have to retain data for so much time, and then it has to expire. Not only the data that I have in HSM, but any other copy of that data has to expire at the same time. So HSM is now being used to report to auditors about expiration of data in certain types of industries. So, again, it's a critical type of environment. Don't let customers, you know, even some customers will tell you, oh, there's nothing important in HSM. Every time I go and do analysis in a customer environment, there's always important data in HSM. So a lot of times some of the customers that you might be talking to just don't know what's being migrated into HSM. And a lot of times, this last bullet on here, the only copy, the only backup of a critical data set for an installation is in HSM. And so, you know, if something happens to that backup copy, and again, stuff happens out there, that's it. That's all they have. They don't have another backup. So this is important stuff. Unfortunately, and I'm battling this right now with a certain customer, the management doesn't seem to have the same feeling of urgency about the data that's in HSM and about the HSM environment. They don't seem to understand how critical that environment is. And they look at things like how much CPU it uses, and in some cases HSM can be a big user of resources within that environment. But they don't drill down to understand the type of data that it's managing and how critical that is, that it functions well in the environment. So a lot of times you have to help them understand how important this is and how important it is to know what's in HSM, to manage it well, to have HSM functioning properly, to audit it and make sure that you can get data back, because they're not being told this information from their own storage staff, okay, or anybody else in their environment. You have to tell them this, okay? All right, so let's move on. I'm on slide 53, and this is some of the things I've listed here about HSM that, you know, again, we're going to call errors that management usually doesn't know about, and sometimes your storage administrator doesn't know anything about because they're not reporting on it. They're not looking at it, okay? I mentioned this before, data that gets migrated and recalled, migrated and recalled, migrated and recalled. Now, the storage administrator, he doesn't really care because, you know, no sweat off my back. But think about it from a processing perspective. Whatever it is that's trying to access that data is having to wait for it to be recalled from migration. So, you know, in the grand scheme of things, if you've got thousands of data sets that are having this type of behavior, you're impacting every process, you know, application, whatever it is, that's trying to get at that data, okay? So the storage administrator may not be tuned in or even care, but from a management perspective, the guy who's got responsibility for the overall performance of that production environment and the success of that production environment, he should care, okay? Volumes not touched by space management. Space management is a function of HSM, and the administrator will say, I'm going to run space management between midnight and 3 a.m. okay? And so every day at midnight, HSM kicks off space management, and it ends at 3 a.m. Now, it may not have completed all of its work. It just is going to end at 3 a.m. no matter what. And the storage administrator just may not be aware that it's not getting to all of the work. And so the storage administrator says to his boss, hey, we need more storage. You know, we're running out of storage. We've got to buy more storage. When, in fact, more data can be migrated out of the environment, but those volumes just aren't getting hit because the storage administrator isn't aware that space management is only doing partial the amount of volumes, that it doesn't have enough time to do all the volumes in the environment. Data set's not migrating. I alluded to this earlier as well. It's typically large data sets that are eligible for migration. You know, they should be migrated off of primary into ML1, but there's not enough space in ML1. And so these data sets, HSM attempts to migrate them over and over and over again and fails because there isn't enough space. And, again, the HSM administrator is completely oblivious that this is happening, has no idea, and he ends up with, you know, I've seen hundreds of data sets, 3,000 cylinders and larger, sitting out there on primary for months, sometimes years, that can't migrate because there's not enough space on ML1. Okay? Bad return codes from backup or migration. This is HSM saying, I can't backup this data set or I can't migrate this data set. And that's a problem. Why can't it? Again, the HSM administrator, storage administrator, doesn't even know it's happening if they're not looking at the log data, and most of them don't. So, you know, their impression is that everything's working fine in HSM. Unless I get a complaint from somebody, an open ticket from somebody, or a production job that goes down, which, of course, is always an emergency, and it always happens off hours and so forth, you know, they're not even looking for these kinds of errors. They don't know that they can prevent those things from happening if they would report on it and fix it before it happens. Unreferenced data not migrating is a big issue, too, and that's a very easy thing to fix. But, again, it's all in the visibility. These people just don't have a clue. Okay, let's go to slide 55. So what this reporting facility does is it just makes it so easy to look at this HSM data. It's pulling data from the control data sets, from the logs, all these different various things that HSM has out there for you, but you basically have to figure out a way to go after that information to create reports. It does have some reporting capability built into HSM, but it's not very sophisticated. And, you know, most customers had to write their own SAS reports or their whatever reporting facilities they might have available to them to get at this data, okay? So what we've done is we've just packaged it very nicely in an ISPF format. Now with the TEP enablement, they can see it in a GUI format through XE for storage. And it's just so easy to look at and so easy to digest and use and understand that, you know, you just open the eyes of these storage administrators into what's happening in HSM. Slide 56, one of the biggest selling points of this product is that it comes with a set of canned reports, but it has a very easy facility for you to create your own reports. Because each installation is unique in the kind of stuff they're going to want to look at in HSM. Okay, so we have 10 or 15 canned reports, you know, of the typical kinds of stuff. But then the real plus here is that I can create a report, any type of report, any and all data that's available in HSM, I can report on any piece of it in any format that I want. And it's fantastic because, you know, being a consultant for as many years as I was for MainStar, you know, I could go to installation after installation after installation and create custom views of information that was critical to them, that they needed at that particular point in time for whatever reason. And I hear with products like CA Vantage that that's not so easy to do. In fact, one of the customers that I worked with said that every time they wanted to create a report, they had to call somebody, an SE from CA, to come in and actually create that report for them because it was not easy to create. So that's an advantage that we have here. It's so easy to create this report, save it in the file, and then I can re-execute this report over and over again with more current information. So that's a big selling point for us. The HSM will dump information into what people call the log data set. And what we do is take the records out of the log data set and present it to the customer in an ISPF format. Now, again, they can go look at the log data, but it's very, you know, it's unformatted. They have to know what they're looking for. It can be thousands and thousands of lines of output depending on how many errors and so forth they have in that 24-hour period. So, you know, it's a productivity tool as well. It's allowing them to see data that might take them, you know, half a day or all day long to analyze on their own, just very quickly and easily at their fingertips. And this is, you know, another point that I made earlier is that the storage administrators are generally unaware of what's happening in the HSM environment because they don't want to take the time to manually go through these, you know, lines of output or paper reports that HSM creates. They just don't want to deal with it. They have other things to do. So this gives them the ability to take care of HSM and look at it very quickly and get things done in a very productive way.
Is the primary source of data, sole source of data for the product?
Wayne asked, is the log file the primary source or the sole source for the product? The answer is it's a source. It's not the only source, but it's a major source because the log file contains everything that happened in the last 24 hours, okay? Both all the successes, you know, what did migrate successfully, what did back up, and all the failures. So the log data is very important for the administrator. It's going to tell me what's happening in my HSM environment every 24 hours. Okay. The control data sets. This is the other source of information for HSM Reporter Manager. Okay. HSM has three control data sets that are very important. I mean, it's the heart and lungs of HSM, the MCDS, the OCDS, and the BCDS. The MCDS contains migration records. The BCDS contains backup records. And the OCDS contains information about physical tape volumes that this data is on. And I don't know if you guys have heard this from customers, but a lot of customers these days are going completely tape in HSM. In other words, they're not migrating to ML1 anymore. They migrate directly into a virtual tape subsystem. And everything is on tape. Okay, so that means that the OCDS has having all of the information about the physical volumes, either virtual or physical volumes that the data relies on, is, you know, very important because if I don't know where it is, I can't get to it, right? So the CDSs tell me everything about what HSM is managing in migration, and it tells me the things that we talked about before. When was the data set created? When was the last time it was touched? How often is it being migrated and recalled? All of that kind of information and more is contained in those CDS records. Now, if an administrator wants to go after that, there's a very long command they can type in, including the data set name, and get it about one record or, you know, a series of records. But it's all manual, and they have to type it in, each one, and get the output for it. So what we're doing is giving them an ISPF format of all of visibility into all the records that are out there that they can get at very easily, run reports against, and just discover information about the data that's being managed by HSM. And I've got some slides in here about the panels and so forth, so we'll take a look at those. Another area here that we talk about that's significant to our product as opposed to doing things in HSM is that we do things outside of the HSM address space, which means we're not degrading the performance of HSM while we're doing these functions. If you're using HSM's reporting facility, audit facility, and so forth, it will degrade HSM's performance, okay? So that's what we mean by executing outside of HSM. We are able to extract data and do the majority of our work outside of the HSM environment, so we're not impacting its performance. On slide 60, the major features here are threshold monitoring, tracking and trending reports, format and save, filters and sort. Now, that really doesn't mean anything to you till I show it to you, so we're just going to go over that as we get to the pictures of the panels. There's some more of the features, the health reports, the dump reporting, multi-purpose query format language. Again, all of these kinds of things we're going to go over in greater detail. One of the things that we will produce is Excel charting. Vantage has a facility within the Vantage product that will actually give you charts on the ZOS platform, or you can port the data over to a piece that runs on the client and get reporting on the client. And we do the same thing. We will port the data over to Excel, and then you can run a set of charts that come with the product that produce these reports, and management likes to see these Excel charts. So a lot of the storage administrators like these reports because they're easy to produce and give to management. Let's go on to. I really want to get. Okay, let's go. Skip down to slide 65. This is the first actual panel, and I wanted to show you what these panels look like and take you through some of them because I think that this will really gel the information much better. So this is the main panel here in the advanced reporting solution. The red box on this slide is highlighting the reports that we get from the log file. And I mentioned that the log file tells me everything that happened in the last 24 hours. So basically, as a storage administrator, if I'm using this product, I want to set up my log files to be large enough to contain all the records for a 24-hour period so that I can come in the morning and take a look right here in these panels and see what happened in migration, in recall, in backup, in recycle, all these different things that are listed on the panel here are all the kinds of functions that are recorded in the log file. On the next slide, this is a panel that says what happened with migration. And as you can see here, I have a record count. I've got a number of error count and a message field on this panel. So it tells me that 193 data sets migrated okay, but there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different categories of errors that occurred in migration in that last 24-hour period of time. And the message field there tells me in a short message what kind of error was it, duplicate data sets in the MCDS or duplicate data set name in the MCDS, data sets was in use so it couldn't migrate it, data sets weren't cataloged. If the data isn't cataloged, HSM cannot manage it. The data set is cannot be expired because the storage administrator set up a rule that said don't expire anything if I don't have an HSM backup of it. So all of these kinds of errors then are reported to me right here in the field. I would have had to look through the HSM log report, which is just line after line of data, for these errors, and it's not in any particular type of order. So, for example, the three duplicate data set names in the MCDS, the information about that might have been in the first third of the report, in the last third of the report, who knows where that would have been. So I would have had to look through the entire report to get all of this information. And what I've done here is just organized it very well in the panel. On the next slide, I can select any one of those categories of errors and see the exact data set name, what action was being taken at the time, and of course these data sets were attempted to be migrated, what the reason code for the error, how large the data set is, and there's actually more information. If I scrolled right on this panel, there'd be more information about the particular data set to the right. So it gives me very detailed information about all of the errors. I might look at these data set names and say, you know, some of these data sets shouldn't even be migrated. So why are we attempting to migrate these data sets? Or some of these data sets can just be deleted. You know, they shouldn't be migrated. They should just be deleted before they get to this point. So I can make various different types of decisions about the data sets when I actually know what they are. Okay. I can also, on the next slide, slide 68, I'm just showing that I can select the reason code information, and it will show me more detail about that particular HSM error. And this one here, it's a return code 99, unsupported data set, and the reason is that it's not physical, sequential, PDS, DA, or VSAM. So this is a data set that has an unknown DS org, and HSM cannot manage those types of data sets. Okay, so on the next slide, we're back to the main panel here, and I've highlighted a different box on this panel. I've highlighted the health reports and the volume dump information. This is another section that the source of this section is HSM's FSR records, VSR records, the various types of statistic information that HSM provides to the customer, but then again, they have to come up with their own reporting to actually see what that data is. So what we're providing here, again, is an ISPF panel. It's neatly organized that shows them the statistic information nice and organized, and it can see things like we're showing information such as the volume is SMS managed and it's HSM managed. It's SMS managed but not HSM managed, and so forth. And we'll also show volumes that have some kind of a problem, like, for example, it's eligible for migration, but it, you know, nothing on this volume has been migrated in X number of days. On the next slide, more information of this type. This is dump information. A lot of folks are using auto dump, which is a feature of HSM, to dump full volumes. And so we have reporting on that dump information in here, what tape volumes are associated with it and so forth. Next slide, we're back to the main panel, and now I have highlighted the reports from the control data sets. And so I mentioned these before, the MCDS, OCDS, and BCDS. And these are the three data sets that contain all of the information about data that is being managed by HSM. So they're very important. They're the heart and lung of HSM. And what I can see in these reports, I can see everything there is to know about a data set, what it's called, how many times it's been migrated. Like on the first line in this particular report, I see that the first data set was migrated 19 times, okay? We assign a thrashing level, which is a feature of our product. The data set is migrated on ML2. It's a non-VSAM data set. It's 4,050 tracks, and then it's also given me the size in migrated kilobytes, which, of course, is compressed size. So I know everything there is to know about these data sets, and I can say, for example, boy, this data set's being migrated 19 times. I can also say, you know, what the time period is of that. Is that within a week, or is that within a month or a year? And if it's being migrated 19 times within a week, well, that's too much. And this particular data set, being 4,000 tracks, just needs to stay on primary for longer. So that's the kind of information that I would be looking for, some of the information I'd be looking for out of these reports, and much, much, much more, obviously. On the next slide, this is the OCDS information. Again, the OCDS contains information about data that are on physical volumes, whether it's virtual, in a virtual tape subsystem, or on a physical tape in a silo, or not in a silo. And so in this particular panel, I can, I'm going to show you how to view the information that I'm seeing here in a format that is meaningful to me. So on the next slide, I'm showing you the various types of sort and filter, the various types of things I can do with the information. I can sort it, I can filter it, I can print it, I can format it, I can create a plan, et cetera. On the next slide, what I'm doing is I'm actually going to sort the information based on the percent valid of these tapes in ascending order. And then what I get is a report that shows me HSM-owned tapes that have no valid data on it. So all of these data, all of these tapes here with 0% valid should be recycled, or they should be eligible for recycle. I could also force recycle on some of these other files or other tapes that contain very little data that maybe are not being recycled because they're part of a connected set. And I can view, if I scroll to the right here, I can view to see whether or not these tapes are part of a connected set. And, you know, I don't know how much you folks know about HSM, but what he'll do, if you allow him to, he'll write part of a data set on the end of one tape and the rest of the data set on the beginning of another tape, okay? And those two tapes then become connected, and one of those tapes cannot be recycled until the other tape is also eligible for recycle. So if you allow for connected sets in your environment, you end up using more tape because these tapes end up sitting out there waiting for that one data set to expire so that it can then be eligible for recycle. It might not have anything else on the tape that's valid. It might have all expired by now, but it'll hang out forever until that one data set expires. Now on the next slide, I'm just showing you some of the reporting facility again. At this time I'm looking for percent valid less than or equal to 50%. And then on slide 79, I can see just a report of all of the data sets, or all of the tapes rather, that the percent valid is less than 50. And I've got 52 volumes in this inventory here. Of tapes that are less than half of the data on them is valid. So I can, one of the things I can do from here, right here in this panel, is I can force recycle on these tapes. I could print a report to show maybe my manager or somebody I'm trying to convince to do something about recycle. Typically, customers are using very fat tape for HSM, so these are big tapes, these are expensive tapes, and they want to be able to utilize them efficiently. So having 52 of these large tapes sitting around with less than 50% valid data on them may be an issue, and the storage administrator can now solve that issue very easily. Okay. Another option here I might I mentioned before that data sets, typically large data sets, fail to migrate because there's not enough space on ML1. And the storage administrator can actually solve that problem right here in the panels using these options that I have here. So I'm gonna show you here in option 9 how to run a command. Well, all I have to do is type in these slash commands, these slash action slash DSN, and on the on the next screen, slide 82, I'm showing you what those various different types of commands are. So, for example, if I put in /sdsn, the reporting mechanism will substitute the names of the data sets that are in my list for that value. So there might be 10 names in the list, or there might be 10,000 names in the list. So I don't have to type in all the names of all these data sets I want to migrate. I can just come to the panel here and type in /sdsn, and then the action I want to take against them, which is migration. And with just 4 or 5 keystrokes, I can cause thousands of data sets to be migrated. So on the next slide, you can see that I've typed in my command, hmigrate, sdsn in quotes, because HSM requires the data set name to be surrounded by single quotes. And then when I press enter, all of the data sets that I have created in my report will be migrated. And so all of the commands get sent to HSM. So, you know, this is something that the storage administrator typically might spend hours doing. You know, if they find data that that should be migrated, or let's say they're in a space crunch right now and they're going through volume by volume trying to migrate data, they're going to be typing hmigrate either by data set name or in option 3.4, hmigrate against data that they want to migrate, when they can come right here to HSM Reporter Manager, run a report that says, give me everything that's over 4,000 tracks that hasn't been touched, you know, in the last day or the last week, whatever their values are, create this report, and then migrate all of those data sets with one or two easy keystrokes. Okay? So very productivity-oriented type reporting, and also being able to create and take action against data in HSM. The plans that I talked about, these are the canned reports that we provide for the customer, but then we also provide the ability for them to create their own types of reports. We call those plans, and you can create a plan based on any other criteria, you know, about data that's being managed by HSM, about any of its characteristics, including size, whether it's been backed up, whether it's been, you know, how often it's been migrated, et cetera. And the plans are then stored in a panel that looks like this with a nice little title next to it that you can re-execute over and over again in the future with fresh data, with new data from the last, you know, 24 hours or whatever it's been. Okay, so this is just a look at one of those plans, and again, we provide the explanation for the tags and how to code up these short little plans, all in the product, actually within this member list here, and it's really, really simple to create new reports from this data. Okay. Let's look at the TEP interface. Let's move on to slide 91. This is a TEP panel. So I'm going through Omegamon XE for storage, and I'm looking at BCDS information, and I can see the detailed information that we just viewed in the panels not too long ago right here through the TEP. It's a little difficult to see in this slide, but, of course, if you're the storage administrator and you're working with this data on your terminal, it's much easier to view. And it's given me exactly the same kind of information we saw before, all the various information about data sets in the BCDS, MCDS, and so forth, but in a graphical view. Here's a slide 92 has an MCDS view. Slide 93 is reports from the log file. That's, again, the data about HSM activity that occurred within the last 24 hours. And then the summary information here, giving me an overall statistics about all the data that's in HSM. So, you know, basically we're looking at reporting right at my fingertips, my critical information about HSM, why is stuff working, why is stuff not working, what isn't working consistently in my environment that needs to be fixed. I have visibility now to all the data that's being managed by HSM. I have visibility to the things that are not occurring in my HSM environment. And these kinds of things I typically, you know, the typical customer doesn't have today if they don't have any kind of HSM reporting. Now, they might have, if they have Vantage, they might have the ability to look at some of this data, but as I mentioned, it's very difficult with Vantage, unless the person's a really good Vantage user, to create new reports and so forth. So, you know, a lot of times we end up giving customers much more in-depth information, much easier, and they may not have even thought about looking at, you know, such and such as something that we already give to them automatically. So it's a lot easier to get the information with advanced reporting. And we're going to move quickly on to advanced audit because we've only got like 10 minutes.
Well, why don't we take some questions?
You want to take some questions? Okay.
I think worst case, maybe we'll pick up the audit part after
lunch. Okay.
And if we have to run late, we'll run late in the afternoon.
So okay, sure. All right. All right, so let's do some questions.
Once again, for the phone audience, that's star one.
So, Colleen, is there any requirement for the Omegamon XC storage present for the TEP enablement of other products?
Okay. Okay, Wayne asks, is there any requirement for the customer to have Omegamon XE for storage? No, there is no requirement. However, of course, they won't be able to see any of the TEP graphical reports. So they'll just have the ISPF interface if they don't have XP for storage. So in order for them to get the TEP reports I just showed you, there is for those reports. But if the customer doesn't have XE for storage, they'll just view all of the information through ISPF and get their reports that way. Okay, so they won't have the graphical interface. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, well, I need to check on that because I think it's if you have any Omegamon.
Any?
Or you could get access to the TEP.
Okay.
And maybe we'll have to find out this afternoon because I thought maybe TEP even came with it.
Okay. Maybe somebody on the phone knows.
Check on that.
Okay. Any other questions?
We have no questions from over the phone.
Okay. So we want to break for lunch then, Doug?
Yeah, let's do that. We'll break for lunch now. I'm sure everyone's out there hungry and stuff like that. And then we'll continue at 1:30 Central Time and go through the remaining three products in a little more detail. So let's cut it off now, and we'll pick up again at 1:30. Okay. Sarah, is there anything you need from us?
Nope, that's it.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks, everyone. We'll see you in about 2 hours.
Thank you. That does conclude this portion of today's conference. Thank you for your participation.